Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps aside.
A very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben. I'm in the studio tonight alone, and but I always on a mission field somewhere in the north, and he may or may not, he may join depending on, they are having a crusade now. He said if he can close by 9, then he will join, but if not, and we thank God for another week and God's protection and direction. And the world is indeed getting off the charts. A lot of things happening and all that. And we'll be discussing some of these things tonight as well. It's my prayer that at the end of the program, we'll learn something and benefit us spiritually and enhance our growth in the Lord. Because it's becoming more critical now to live right do what is right in the sight of God. These are not the times to be pleasing men. These are the times to be pleasing God and God alone. As for men, men would want to have you please them in all that you do. But ultimately, God should be our main purpose of our living, what we do and how we live and all that. Tonight, let me start with some of the news items happening and the times we are in. You look at the news items alone, it should tell you that indeed things are not as we thought they were. A lot is happening very fast behind the scenes. And sometimes if you look at the events happening worldwide, you can easily, you know, especially in people, I mean, like Ghana, where by the grace of God for now all seems to be calm and all that, you can easily fall into that deception that, oh, life is okay. There's nothing really behind the scenes to be worried about. But unfortunately, there's a lot to look out for as believers, especially looking at the Bible side of things, Bible prophecies and all that. And I remember a few weeks ago I was talking about the fact that for God to promise us that he will pour out his spirit and there will be dreams and visions and all that in the last days means he would be giving us extra information pertaining to the times that we'll be living in, whichever generation it is that will be in the last days. And we are beginning to see a lot of things unfolding along those lines. And it's unfortunate that sometimes people, Christians, look down and trivialize these things. Well, I don't blame some of those people. For instance, last week, a friend sent me a file of a certain prophet, whatever, prophesying that there's going to be some heavy rains in Kumasi and destruction, people will die and all that. When he sent, I got it, I listened to it, and, you know, I didn't take it serious. I felt, no, this guy is just making noise, you know, because spiritually, I sense that, no, this thing is not right. And said, Saturday, that's last week, Saturday, and then the Monday, and there will be heavy rain that will destroy and kill people, and Saturday passed. I mean, my work, I was just waiting after Monday, then I can, after Saturday evening, if nothing happens, that's the Sunday morning, I'll respond. And then I sent a message to my friend, I see, yeah, nothing has happened though. Saturday has passed, no rain destroyed and killed anyone here. And Monday too passed. You see, and I was telling a friend that these are the things that cause people to downplay prophecies that eventually are truly from God. Because you see, when you've said this, and then next time when a true prophecy is being given, people will say that, oh, we heard some and nothing happened. So even they won't even bother to listen to this one again. And that is also one aspect of it. But the fact that there's falsehood does not mean that all prophecies are also false. The fact that there's falsehood does not mean that God is not talking and saying the true messages again. So rather, we should take things to God in prayer, and we should rather sharpen our spiritual sensitivity so that we can be alert and sensitive to those that are from God and those that are not. And I believe that that's one way of guiding us in these times we find ourselves in. All right, so let's get into some of the news. And for those who be sending messages in the course of the program, sometimes people send it very late. So please, if you would, in the course of the program, 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. So that you send it on time before I leave the studio. Okay, so let's start with this one. China and U.S. tensions growing. Israel and Hamas conflict grows. And Russia carries out largest war game since Cold War. This is one headline I saw on a prophecy website and news website. You know, this gives you a highlight of the world we are in. And, you know, tension is growing in various parts of the world, chaos, riots, and all that. Israel, Hamas, tension increasing. You know, so all these things are wake-up calls. But let's get into further news items. You have twin earthquakes 6.8 and 6.3 strike off the coast of Chile. Then this headline says giant hail and tornadoes strike northern Italy, leaving at least 4 people dead. Another one says catastrophic flooding leaves at least 100,000 fatalities. 110 fatalities and over 2,000 homes destroyed in Afghanistan. Then this one is worrying. It says price of bread could rise after UK experiences the worst wheat harvest in 40 years. The UK has just experienced what is being reported as the worst wheat harvest in over 40 years, and the consequences could spell higher prices for bread and flour. According to the BBC, farmers are warning that the extreme weather over the past 12 months is likely to mean wheat yields are going to be down by up to 40%, forcing some millers to increase the price of flour by 10%. And they warn a no-deal Brexit could push up prices even further. Experts are also warning that more of the same weather will be seen in the future. Then we get to the US. This headline says, it is being projected that more than 50 million Americans will be fighting hunger by the end of this year. Because of the crazy things that have happened so far in 2020, large numbers of people have been forced into dramatic lifestyle changes. Many Americans have deeply cut their food budgets due to the lack of income. Others are now only eating one or two meals a day. And we are seeing more demand at food banks around the country than we ever have before. It is quite obvious that massive numbers of people are really hurting, and Bloomberg is reporting that it is being projected that the number of Americans that are fighting hunger will rise to more than 50 million by the end of this calendar year. The ranks of Americans fighting hunger are projected to swell some 45% this year to more than 50 million. This is a Bloomberg report. For those who have been listening to this program for the last 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, some of the warnings that we've been reading, warning talking about America and what is coming to the world and all, you can understand that it is very possible, because if this report is saying that 50 million people are going to face hunger by the end of this year, 2020, and then it tells you that those prophecies can easily be fulfilled. Actually, I mean, you look at the horizon, the events, and all that happening, you don't even need to be a prophet to know that something is on the horizon, something is coming. Then this headline says, Chicago, Portland, Baltimore. The things we have been warned about are now starting to happen everywhere. Whether for good or for bad, the U.S. always sets an example for the rest of the world. And right now, people all over the world are watching violence fill the streets of major cities. For years, we could all see anger building to extremely dangerous levels in our society. But I think that most Americans never believe that it would actually cause such an eruption. It has been heartbreaking to watch Americans fighting Americans. And I wish all of our politicians could come together and form a united front in calling for an end to the violence. Instead, they just keep blaming each other. Things just continue to escalate. And when the writer says, when I use the word escalate, I'm not exaggerating one bit. There are more than 100,000 gang members living in the city of Chicago today. And according to the FBI, 30 gangs in the city have made a pact, that's an agreement, to shoot any police officer that draws his or her weapon in public. And for those who have seen some of the videos from the U.S. regarding the violence in Seattle and Portland and New York City and all, it's really, really, really serious. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's becoming dangerous for whites to walk in some areas because you will just be attacked, the fact that you are white alone. And some of the videos are worrying. But you see, I remember years back, I've read of prophecies, some given 10 years ago and all that, where it talks about the fact that a time will come when racial wars will happen in the U.S., like, and all that. It sounded off. I mean, how can the U.S., you know, it was a bit difficult to picture and imagine such things happening on the streets of the U.S. But lo and behold, we are seeing these things unfolding. And this is not the end of it. This is actually just the beginning of the confusion and the chaos and the rout happening. You know, there are forces behind these things. There are demonic forces behind these things. Last week, if you listen to this program, I mentioned the Black Lives Matter two leaders who were talking about the fact that they call on spirits and, you know, they go to the seaside to, you know, invoke demonic forces and all that. You know, it's not, if you watch what is happening, it's not ordinary. There are demonic forces manipulating people to do what they are doing. There are demonic forces inspiring people to misbehave and all that. So, demons are on the loose, bottom line. So, it shows that the spirit of lawlessness is increasing. And gradually is gaining more numbers because the society is becoming more godless. So it's easy for such people to fall for such spirits anyway. Because if you look at the trend, and others are learning from it. So if during the George Floyd riots in June and all that, it spilled over into Europe and other societies, other countries. You see, so it tells you how it's so easy for something happening in the U.S. to just get replicated in other countries because people look up to that society. And when something is demonic, the demons easily inspire others to also do same, because the more, you know, it's just like, I mean, various vices, pornography and all these other vices. A lot of it, I mean, is seen and watched on the internet and on TV and all that, is made in the U.S. and it spreads in the world, various countries, various societies. So as people watch these things in the news, watch these things on the internet, watch these things in the new, I mean, other platforms and all, they get inspired to also do those same evil deeds wherever they are. And as Christians, if there was ever a time that would be serious with prayer, these are the times we find ourselves in. I'll be talking more about these things in the course of the program anyway. Okay, so let me continue. We have thousands are fleeing the cities because they no longer feel safe. In modern American history, never has it been that such mass exodus away from major cities is happening. Overall, the U.S. economy is a complete and total disaster in 2020, but moving companies and real estate agents that work in desirable rural and suburban areas are absolutely thriving right now. Each weekend, we are seeing long lines at U-Haul rental facilities. Moving companies can't handle all the requests they are getting, and property values are shifting at a pace that is difficult to believe. Homes in core urban areas are losing value very rapidly, and at the same time, we are seeing a bidding wars for some rural and suburban properties that are absolutely insane. This was an article from the Prophecy News Watch. And people are moving away from the cities where the lawlessness is, is prevailing. Every night, they are doing riots, they are burning things, they are destroying shops, businesses. You know, the lawlessness is just raging. The governors and the mayors in these states and cities are just not in, because they are Democrats, and they are all behind these things, and it's in their favor. To them, they think, well, it exposes the government, so they are in favor of such lawlessness happening. But innocent people are living in these places, and people have started moving out of these cities to outer places where they'll be safe. But these are at the foretaste of the things happening, or the things to come, where lawlessness will be pervasive all over. And when I see these things, it just gives me a caution as to how we should take these warnings the Lord has been giving very seriously, because if you are not grounded in the Lord seriously, it's going to be more difficult to be a Christian in the times ahead. Because if the little we are seeing now is just a little, and it's not even the full picture of what is the evil that is ahead, then it tells you it's not going to be a simple thing in the times ahead at all. This headline: there is a disturbing rise in violence against Christians in India. India is reportedly experiencing a rise in Christian persecution over the past several years, and many fear this is the making of a full Hindu nation coming to fruition. According to a report from FaithWire, managing editor Dan Andros recently spoke with the voice of the Martyrs radio host Todd Nettleton regarding this grim report and the motives behind it. According to CBN's George Thomas, the situation in India continues to worsen with violence and persecution against Christians in India. And indeed, there are lots and lots of reports coming out of India regarding Christian persecution. And we need to remember such in our prayers. And then we also have this one that says, China removes over 900 church crosses in the first half of 2020. 900 crosses, church crosses, have been removed forcefully by the Chinese government in first half of 2020. This one to say is, Christian church in Iran is believed to have nearly 1 million members despite violent persecution, according to a survey. So the underground church is really growing, and we thank God for that in Iran. One man killed, children and others kidnapped in North Central Nigeria. As for Nigeria issues, and the Christian persecution up north, is really, really worrying indeed. Then in Syria, 16 pro-Iranian fighters killed in airstrikes attributed to Israel. Then we have some Israel news which are quite interesting. Let's talk about a few of them. Sanhedrin petitions the government to blow shofar on the Temple Mount for the first time since the temple destruction. A petition is currently being considered by the Prime Minister, which, if accepted, will permit a Jew to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on the Temple Mount. Since the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Sunday, Sabbath, it will be the only place in the entire Jewish world that a shofar will be blown, and it will mark the first time since the destruction of the temple that a Jew will be permitted to perform this powerful act at the holiest site in the world. The Organization of 70 Nations, headed by Rabbi Hillel Weiss, and the Land of Israel Organization, headed by Aviad Visoli, petitioned Prime Minister Netanyahu to permit the blowing of the shofar on the Temple Mount on the holy day of Rosh Hashanah. Jews are only permitted to enter the Temple Mount 5 days a week, Sunday to Thursday. This year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Saturday, the Sabbath, According to Jewish law, it is forbidden to blow the shofar on the Sabbath except for the Temple Mount. So we submitted a request to permit a group of Jews to do so, to blow the shofar on the Temple Mount on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. If they succeed, this will be the first time a shofar will be blown on the Temple Mount since the destruction of the Temple 1,950 years ago. In contravention of the law, the Israeli police forbid any non-Islamic symbols, non-Palestinian national symbols, or non-Muslim rituals on the Temple Mount. This policy is an attempt to lessen Arab violence. Blowing of the shofar on the Temple Mount of Rosh Hashanah is not a simple ritual as it's done in synagogues around the world. This is not just for the Jews who are there to hear it. This is a shofar call to all the nations of the world. Now, more than ever before, we are crying out to Hashem to bless us with life, peace, and an end to plagues. Every leader in the world who cares and who sees himself as a representative of one of the 70 nations should call on Netanyahu to permit this to take place. As political processes concerning Israel and the Temple Mount move forward, as much is being said about the Arabs, but not a word is being said about the rights and requirements of the Jews in their biblical homeland and our holiest site. And no one is speaking about the true owner of the land and his kingship. One of the names of the temple was Beth Hatkiya, the house of the sounding of the shofar. Politics is nothing when compared to that. Then he says, blowing the shofar that is specific to the temple is a cry out to God to prevent the division of this land and the loss of his house. This shofar will topple everyone who is set on dividing God's land and opposing the establishment of a house of prayer for all nations in Jerusalem, just as the sound of the shofar toppled the walls that stood between the Jews and entering the promised land. And indeed, they are really wishing they can do this. Well, let's see if Netanyahu will agree to that. Then the U.S. National Security Advisor says that we want to see the Palestinians in their own state. The National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said on Thursday, the U.S. administration is committed to a two-state solution between Israel and Palestine, according to Haaretz reports. The comments were made in an interview with Hewitt, during which O'Brien added, quote, "We want to see the Palestinians in their own state with their own government. Hopefully a democratic government and one that thrives economically alongside Israel," unquote. His remarks were also tweeted out by the National Security Council's official account. O'Brien on Monday was part of the joint Israeli-U.S. delegation which visited Abu Dhabi to finalize the normalization agreement between Israel and the UAE at the United Arab Emirates. The delegation was headed by the Israeli National Security Advisor, Meir Ben Shabbat, and was also attended by the U.S. Presidential Advisor, Jared Kushner. Israel's agreement with the UAE stipulates that Israel will suspend its plans to apply sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. Prime Minister Netanyahu insisted that the agreement with UAE did not mark the end of his sovereignty plan, but is merely a temporary delay. U.S. President Donald Trump, however, later asserted that Israel agreed not to apply sovereignty over Judea and Samaria as part of the agreement. O'Brien's remark is a rare one by a top official under Trump, President Trump, whose Middle East proposal and the Israel-UAE deal he helped broker have come under harsh criticism by the Palestinian Authority. Well, they are talking about dividing Jerusalem, having the East being given to the Palestinians. This will happen because Bible prophecy has it that it will happen. So it's going to happen anyway. Then we have Kosovo to recognize Israel and Serbia to relocate embassy to Jerusalem. Very interesting times indeed. The move comes as part of agreement between Serbia and Kosovo that normalizes economic relationships between the two countries. U.S. President Donald Trump on Friday oversaw the signing of an agreement between Serbia and Kosovo that normalizes economic relations between the two and also includes Kosovo recognizing Israel and Serbia relocating its embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. The relocation of Serbia's embassy to Jerusalem is expected to take place by July 2021. Truly, it's historic, Trump said during the signing of the Belgrade-Pristina deal. I look forward to going to both countries in the not-too-distant future. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke with Trump and Kosovo's Prime Minister Abdullah Hoti also was in the meeting with Trump. The Kosovo Prime Minister, for his part, said that Kosovo too will open an embassy in Jerusalem. Kosovo will be the first Muslim-majority country to open an embassy in the city, Netanyahu said. As I have said in recent days, the circle of peace, underline peace, the circle of peace and recognition of Israel is expanding and more countries are expected to join in. Netanyahu also congratulated Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić on his decision to relocate his country's embassy to Jerusalem. I thank my friend President Vučić of Serbia for his decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and move their embassy, Netanyahu said. I also want to thank my friend Donald Trump for his contribution to this achievement. A statement from Netanyahu's office praised Serbia for being the first European nation to agree to move its embassy and said efforts continue to convince other European nations to do so as well. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The more we hear these things, the more it should remind us of where we are, the times we live in. United Arab Emirates Crown Prince wants to visit Jerusalem because he seeks a comprehensive peace, according to a senior UAE official. Only a month ago, a visit by a Gulf Arab state leader to Israel would have seemed unimaginable to most people, even to many world leaders and Middle East analysts. But the unimaginable is apparently going to happen. The leader of the UAE will visit Jerusalem, a senior UAE official told All Arab News in an exclusive interview, because he wants a comprehensive peace with Israel and her people. Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed bin Sultan, widely known by his initials BMZ, is the crown prince of Abu Dhabi and the de facto ruler of the island kingdom. He has not yet said publicly he is coming to Jerusalem, but his UAE official, but this UAE official in an on-record interview would want, sorry, there was a typo mistake there. In an on-record interview, he made it clear that the Crown Prince regards such a visit as entirely consistent with true and full normalization between the two countries. MBZ also wants to strengthen the Palestinian people and see the creation of a Palestinian state. So we are getting the two-state solution where the Palestinians live side by side with the Israelis. And that is this whole division of Jerusalem, which comes with a lot of biblical consequences as well, prophetic consequences for the countries that engage in it. Then Bahrain to announce normalization of ties with Israel soon. Senior Israeli official believes announcement will follow the signing of Israel's agreement with the United Arab Emirates. You know, a lot is happening. A lot is happening behind the scenes where they believe more countries in the Middle East are going to agree with Israel, and a lot of it is going to be based on the condition that they divide the land and share it with the Palestinians and live side by side. And you see, it's very interesting. Sometimes you hear some, you read some of these news or you see some of these news items, and it's like Bible prophecy just unfolding right before our eyes. Gradually, we are getting there. Some of these things years back, you read it and it's like, how is it going to happen and how is it going to take place? But the picture is becoming clearer and clearer in these times we find ourselves in. Then Germany uncovers major pedophile ring with 30,000 members. That is horrible. German authorities have uncovered a major pedophile ring made up of a network of at least 30,000 child sex offenders, according to reports. Officials from the North Rhine-Westphalia cybercrime unit revealed the unprecedented extent of the child abuse ring after a 9-month cybercrime investigation. The police found adults who were sharing child pornography and exchanging advice on how to drag and rape young children, even babies. And it goes on and on. You know, pedophilia has increased worldwide. Lots of children getting missing in the Western countries, US and Europe and other places. A lot of them are being held and adults are just abusing them sexually. And I remember reading reports about it, how some of the occultists engaging these things want to abuse the children and, I mean, have affair, rape them and all that, and then eventually kill them, drink their blood. This is the world we live in, where evil. And one statement one of them made was so harrowing that they want the children to feel like scared before they kill them, because when they feel like, I mean, the child exhibits fear and the adrenaline is very high, it makes their blood taste nicer and all that. This is the society, this is the world we are in. This is how evil is pervasive. You know, it starts with the abortion industry. They kill the babies, I mean, do all the nasty things. Those people, those same people are also part of these same groups who are also abusing children and killing and drinking their blood. And all, you know, evil is on the rise. Evil is on the rise. And they are using it for various sacrifices to empower themselves. They believe that when they drink, so these very old, top people, big men, they believe when they drink the blood of the children, they will grow older, like they will grow long. I mean, they won't die early and they will grow younger. I mean, they won't look too old. And I mean, all sorts of abnormal things. But this is happening. This is happening in the world we live in, where it's people just take joy in abusing children. It was so amazing that this week in California, the legislature passed a bill reducing the penalties for adults who engaged in like gay sex with children, or the age range is less than up to 10 years, the penalty has been reduced. And you ask yourself, why would anyone think of this? That the crime, as something that is supposed to be an offense, where if, let's say, a 24-year-old man rapes like a 15-year-old boy or 14-year-old boy, which should have been a big issue. Now they say if the boy is willing and agrees to it, then the penalty should be lowered. This is the society that this world is. No, it's just abnormal, but it's becoming normal. We find ourselves in a time where good is bad and bad is good. And naturally, it will amaze you to know that there are some groups who come out shamefully. I mean, there is no shame, just trying to say that pedophilia should even be legalized and made like another form of a sexual lifestyle. So just as we have the LGBT people, they should also have, you know, P. So pedophiles should also be accepted as their form of sexual pleasure. That's their life, their form of having sex. So why should it be a crime that sleeping with a child is an offense? It should also be legalized, just as we have the LGBT. This is the world we are in. And even though it's not legalized, behind the scenes, it's a major event. It's happening. Children getting missing. A lot of them end up in such instances where they are abused. Some are kept for months and years, abused and abused and abused and abused until they kill them, or some are able to escape. You know, all sorts of things. And these reports keep, carrying various news networks and all. It tells you that these are the things that will provoke the wrath of God on any society that engages in such things. Because the blood of these innocent ones will not go silent. As they are sacrificed, it will not go silent. Then this one, UK may make at-home medical abortions. That's abortions performed at home. They are going to make it permanent because of the lockdown, corona. They made it, it was allowed as a temporary thing, but some 90,000 have performed abortions during the corona shutdown in UK. And it's seriously, the UK, they are seriously considering making permanent a temporary measure, allowing for women to do medical abortions at home without going to a clinic. Earlier this year, in response to the shutdowns aimed at curbing the COVID-19 pandemic, the British government temporarily lifted a rule requiring women taking some drugs to end pregnancy to visit a hospital. However, according to Nigel Nelson of the Mirror, the government may consider making the temporary rule suspension permanent, as about 90,000 at-home medical abortions have occurred since March. And that's another level of wickedness happening. Then this one, in the entertainment industry, where they have a new teen comedy called Unpregnant. That's teen comedy called Unpregnant, makes abortion nothing but a laughing matter. So HBO, that's Home Box Office, I think, HBO has released the trailer of its newest movie called Unpregnant. That appears to reduce the seriousness of abortion to merely a comedy, which many are concerned is sending out the wrong message to impressionable young girls. Unpregnant is a controversial abortion comedy movie set to premiere on HBO Max on September 10th. The film is based on a novel and tells the story of a girl, Veronica, and on and on and on. But you see, they are making it normal for the girls and for the youth. And this is all part of the plan. Last week, I think I read one news where it talks of a former Planned Parenthood officer who said they intentionally engage in these sex educations in a way to promote fornication amongst the children, like the youth and the teenagers and all, so that more abortion cases will happen. You know, it's a business. It's a multi-billion dollar business, as well as some also feed on it for their satanic and rituals and all that. Those who have listened to this program a while back, I read about this ex-satanist who talked about what they do in the abortion clinics and what they do with abortions and all that. So it's not as simple as a woman's rights. It's a clear evil that is going on. Then in the state of Georgia church splits from United Methodist over gay rights. So we have more than a third of the congregation at Asbury Memorial Church in Severn Hare are LGBTQ, according to the minister. Georgia congregation has officially left the United Methodist Church in support of LGBTQ rights, deciding instead to be an independent non-denominational church. The move by Asbury Memorial Church in Savannah comes a year and a half after the UMC and the second largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. voted to strengthen its bans on LGBTQ clergy and same-sex weddings. quote, our LGBTQ community is vital to the thriving congregation we have today. The Reverend Billy Hester said, we have always tried to be an all-inclusive environment, and we are excited about our future. Our future. If you don't repent, your future is hell, because you can't, LGBT cannot be part of Christianity. Hester, who is 61, said Asbury Memorial Church was slowly dying in 1993 when he returned to his hometown after 12 years in New York. Aside from me and my wife, the youngest member was 66 years, Hester said. To breathe new life into the congregation, the couple used their theater background to host musicals, and we held open auditions, built our own sets and stages, performed in our own sanctuary, he said, adding that the church eventually brought in people from all walks of life, including LGBTQ people, who found a safe haven in the revived religious community. Revived. Indeed. As for this revival, no, unacceptable. Today, he said, LGBTQ people make up about 35% of his congregation. And as a pastor, you are happy that 35% of your members are gays and lesbians and queer LGBTQ? Some of the earliest supporters of Asbury were LGBTQ folks, he added. They were just as integral to this community that we built from the ground up. And these are the words of the pastor whose congregation have 35% being LGBTQ.
What was the meaning of the
Q? Queer. Those who are queer and they live their life anyhow.
The
today,
queer,
they are queer. They can switch. They can switch gender. Today I can be male, tomorrow I can be female, the next day I can be transgender, tomorrow anything. They just odd life. And it's very, very, very unfortunate. But these are the times we live in. I'll be back after this short break. Where is the song?
I thirst for the righteousness that's yours, that my mind would be cleansed and my spirit renewed, and this
the light, searching for the slightest scent of blood. For when the skin of my existence is broken, he moves in swiftly to deepen the cut. O Lord of creation, hear your servant. You understand the weaknesses of men. I'm counting myself crucified with Jesus, alive to Christ and dead indeed to sin. Lord, I hunger for holiness, and I thirst for the righteousness that's yours.
Agent X, your next mission will require a special weapon.
Like this telephone here that's really a camera? Oops, I meant this telephone over here.
No, on your next mission, you will battle the enemy unseen.
Oh, jungle warfare, huh? Not to worry. I know fujitsu. Hey-yah!
That was my desk.
Oh, sorry.
Right. No physical weapon can touch this enemy. You need this.
Ah, a seemingly harmless Bible.
It is a Bible. Study it. Know it.
Oh, I bet there's a small explosive device inside, right?
No.
A gun?
No.
A knife?
It's a Bible, and it's more powerful than any weapon we could give you.
You know, Agent P got a tank shaped like a Porsche. Sure, I don't need one of those.
This book is your best defense. It provides everything you need. Read it. Your life depends on it.
Dick gets a watch that's a fax machine, and I get a book.
Agent X!
I'm reading, sir. I'm reading.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
All right, welcome back. Issues of Life is the program. Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. I'm in the studio, brother. Marfo. You know, there is a time for everything. And that's something that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let me quickly read that part. Ecclesiastes 3. When it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Goes on and on and on and lists a whole lot of things. And one important thing we have to note now, let me read Ephesians 5, verse 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And if you meditate on this verse, if about 1950 years ago when this was written, those days were evil, then I don't know how these days can be described.
It's going to be evil, evil, like evil.
Because if Paul was writing this and he described those days as evil, obviously, if there's a generation that should believe this verse and act on this verse, it should be this generation that is indeed seeing evil at first hand. Yes. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem that the church has seen this verse that much. It doesn't seem Christians understand this verse that much. And he repeated it from another point in Colossians 4:5, where he wrote, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, it's very important to understand. You see, you can only redeem the time when you know the time you are in. Because if you don't know the time you are in, how do you redeem? I mean, it's just like a student in school who is living a normal life. You know, as I always cite this example on campus life where, you know, first week on campus, second week, oh, that one. Yeah, people don't even bother to open their notebooks. Even some don't even go for lectures first, second week, third week. Some are time, oh, they won't come for lectures at all. And even we who are also going for lectures, we just go take their notes, come and put it down. Because, you know, I mean, first week, second week, what's the big deal? You are visiting friends, you've come for vacation and chatting and chatting and chatting and all. So it's like, it's a normal life. And exam is far away, 14 weeks away. Or so who thinks about exam the first week or second week, logically? So that mindset is seen as normal. But this same environment on campus, when the season is bending towards exam time, then you see that even a cemetery can be quiet. The campus will be quieter than the cemetery. It is because now people know that the season has changed. It's time to account for the time you've spent on campus that semester. You know, so that those are the days where those who are not serious coming knocking on your doors and can we copy your notes, going to do photocopy, because they know you people go for lectures. They don't go, but now they are serious. So they want to get all the information you also have so that they can also learn. You see, that's how life is in the normal. I mean, unfortunately, the church and Christians are behaving the same way as if students in the first week on campus. I mean, we are living our Christian lives as if there's nothing at stake, as if there's nothing coming, as if all is well, as if we are going to be here forever, we are going to live on this life, in this earth forever. There's no eternity to think about, there's no heaven to go to. That is exactly how we are living our lives. Nothing to strive for, comfortable, all is well, God will bless us, we'll have a good life, God will prosper us. I mean, that is the average Christian mindset now. Some thoughts, oh, well, maybe COVID will come, and when COVID came, it will awaken the church a bit and Christians. And to some extent, yes, it did for a while. And it's like now that the thing is like back to the old school, the old ways of doing things, old normal lifestyle. Normal things going on again, the lukewarmness back again, those living in sin back to the sin's lifestyle. Like, you know, it's like business as usual for the average Christian. But the fact that you don't recognize the time has changed does not mean the time has not changed for you or will not change for you. If it has changed, it has changed. So it's just like on campus, if the season for exam comes and you don't adjust to prepare for that exam, as for the exam, they will take it. It will happen on the set timetable that they put there. So if you are ready or not, some people will go and take the exams. The same way, the fact that the season has changed and you do not believe or you do not know the season has changed does not mean the season will wait for you. It has changed. So it's either you adjust and join those who know the season and the times, or you can continue being in your ignorance and you'll be caught unawares when the reality dawns.
I don't think the problem is not seeing the time. Inability to understand the time.
No, it varies from person. It's not the same for, it's different. Some know the time, but they are just not interested. Some are not aware at all. Some know, some are seeing, but they are procrastinating. Oh, it's just like a student who, he knows exam is coming, but oh, let me go and watch this film tomorrow. Let me go and watch this football match. When I finish, I'll learn. Then he will sleep. Then the next day, I'll learn tomorrow. Then he will sleep. And then they will fail. I mean, so there are some who know the time, they know the season, but they keep procrastinating their preparedness. So the system varies from person to person. Uh-huh. But the bottom line is, whichever way you, where place you find yourself, the season will not wait for you. The exam will take place. The same way, the times changing spiritually. The fact that you do not know, or you know, or you don't want to recognize, or you are refusing to accept, or whatever, does not mean that the clock will wait for you. No. What will happen will happen. Life will go on as it should. But you have to adjust to fit into the timing. And the reason why it's important we get to know the times we are in is that, you know, like we talked about the other time, the children of Issachar who understood the times. You see, it's critical because it's so easy not to understand the times you are in. And not understanding means then you live life as though there's nothing at stake. You live everything normal, no agency in how we apply things and all that. But indeed, we are at a very critical point now because everything, the news says it all. Let's put Bible prophecies aside and let's just even settle on news alone. The unbelievers even look at the news now in the world and even can attest that something is not right. Unbelievers without the Holy Spirit in them. Unbelievers with no promptings of the Spirit of God in them. Unbelievers who some don't even read the Bible at all. Unbelievers who do not know what the Bible has said about what is coming, or may have heard a few in some preachings or somebody saying it. But if unbelievers can even assume and, I mean, perceive that the world is not heading in the right direction, things are just not going right, then it raises a lot of issues about a Christian who is also living that same life with that unbeliever, and yes, they're refusing to know what the unbeliever knows.
The point you are making is individualistic observation. When the first class elects you from the church,
oh yeah, but I mean, is that,
from the church, because most of them, they are depending on when you hear from the church.
Oh yeah, but I'm
here to,
oh yes,
God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
God is in control.
So these are the times where we have to understand the realities on the ground. And the first reason why a lot of it, people are just not aware of these things, is the fact that, one, we are not reading the Bible enough, because if we were reading the Bible enough, we would have seen the things in the Bible and then the things in the world, happening in the world. Then there can be a link. We are not reading enough. We are not depending on the Holy Spirit to communicate with us enough. So even when he is talking to us, we are not interested in what he's saying. Because for most people, our perception of God talking to us should be God is trying to say that he's come to bless you. No, no, it's not about bored. It's not, the Bible says we should read the Bible day and night. If you read Joshua 1:8, We have to meditate day and night. Even there's even a difference between reading and even meditating. Meditation of the word thinking is another level. Reading, you can read.
You need to apply.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, this whole issue of where the church is in the terms of the Christians and where we are now and the times we find ourselves in, it's now critical that we redeem the time because the devil knows the time. And he knows his time is very short. He knows his time very, very well because there have been countless messages, former Satanists and all who are now Christians who talk about some of their meetings then and how the devil warns them how like time is running out, so they have to speed up in destruction of the believers or the churches or Christians. And they know. And some of these testimonies, five years ago, we listened, we played some 10 years. So it's been years. So the devil has known his time is drawing close. He knows his time is drawing closer and closer and closer. So his activities and his strategies and all is also being stepped up to match the shortness of the time. Unfortunately, because we are ignorant, one, two, we are also just being deceived, as it were. So things are changing fast, but we are refusing to see that things are changing. You see, the reason why we must redeem the time is that if we do not redeem the time, we'll get to the point where we realize that we have wasted our time and it will be too late to redeem the time. Because a time comes, you see, Solomon said it, there's a time and a season for everything under the earth, every purpose. There's a time and a season. You see, recently, a client was doing a job recruitment in Accra, and they called me. They wanted to do, because of the COVID, they have to interview, like do aptitude tests for a whole number of people and all that, numbers in the hundreds. So how do we go about it? So the idea, okay, to do an online exam for them. Aptitude test should be online. So it was done and all. Now, this thing was completed 3 weeks ago. As at this week, I received notification of some people now registering to, when they finish the exam and they've selected those who passed and they've finished their interviews and all, some people are now applying to log into the system to take their exams. Yes, but the issue is like no one is waiting for you. That the system has moved on. Because you see, there was a time that was set. Notification was sent to all of them that the exam will be done on this date, this period, and all that. Now, 3 weeks after, some people are now logging into the system to now come and take the exam.
Who have seen it afresh?
Well, but the issue with the system is not waiting for you. The fact that you are now seeing it or you didn't know or whatever, it doesn't change the fact that you've lost the opportunity. So some could have been maybe the best students or the best, with qualifications, who could have gotten some of the jobs. But, well, the time and season didn't wait for them. So now they lost an opportunity, not because the system or the opportunity was not given to them. They were given the same opportunity as all the other hundreds. But they lost it because they missed their timing. And this is the seriousness of missing your timing, because no one waits for you. The system will not, the time will not wait for you. You see, and that's why, you see, every verse in the Bible has its significance. For these verses to be in the Bible means they are a warning to us to learn from. Because if we do not redeem the time, now let me read the verse 15, and that's very important. So Ephesians 6, 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, yeah, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
So this one
puts it this way. See therefore how ye walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise. carefully, so circumspectly. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, this is very critical because the devil, knowing this, has also set up things to occupy our time. And this is what I want to emphasize on tonight. Our time is being occupied by a lot of those who are on my broadcast lists. I mean, I addressed this issue over a period of time. I mean, in the past few days, the issue of time wasters are really, really a big issue we should look at. So many things have been designed to just waste our time. A lot of time wasters are in our system. And, you know, things that waste our time also look good and pleasing and fulfilling. I'm put it that way. But the fact that something is good and pleasing and you're fulfilling and all, but spiritually, a lot of it are of no value. TV is a classic example of what do you watch on TV? If you are going to watch things that are not benefiting you spiritually, then what is the use? When, you see, the time of exams on campus, there are some who don't even watch anything at all because they now they know that their season has changed. This is not the time to entertain yourself, to watch movies. And, you know, if I remember those times on campus, I mean, I was in Independence Hall then, and the TV room, if you're in the main courtyard, and the TV room can be full. People are watching movies. There are some who stay in the TV room 1 a.m., 2 a.m. before they go and sleep. They are watching movies, changing channels. But when the exam season comes, sometimes you pass by the TV room and it's like nobody is there. It's only the TV that is there. So the TV room becomes an empty room because the season has changed. The time has changed. And the people who come and watch the TV are redeeming their time because they know that they cannot spend hours watching that box there. Those times it was box, not the flat screen. They cannot waste their time watching a box whilst they have things to learn. They have things to memorize. They have things to write reports on or whatever, assignment to finish and submit. You see, because you know that time is not on your side. So as Christians, if we are also to determine and know that the time that we have is running out quickly, then what are the things we are to identify as time wasters? The time wasters for me may not be the time wasters for you. Some are common across, but it varies from person to person. My TV, I don't remember the last time I put on the TV. I mean, it's like I don't waste time. So it's just not on. Fortunately, the children are not around. So the TV, I don't put it on. It's just there.
It will be trouble, that's
too. Oh, I mean,
it's always that. See, I know you've seen it. It will get spoiled. News once in a while.
No,
watch news.
The news. No, the news. I get the news I want.
After news.
Then. No, no. The news I want, I get it. And I get the news. The news I want for my program, I get it anyway. I get the news I want. And what I want to know about Ghana, I get it all, everything online as I want. So I don't need the TV to watch. And then, so you see, if you know, you realize that TV is a time waster for you, then you put and plan yourself appropriately. If you know friends, there are some people, friends, human beings, friends are the time wasters in their life that they should cut off. There are some people you know that this friend that you are going to visit, if you go, you are going to spend 5 hours on unnecessary talk and gossip and back, nothing beneficial from the whole conversation you are going to have that person. Nothing beneficial. It's a waste of time. That person is a time waster in your life. You see, there are some people who is the mobile phone. The mobile phone is a time waster for some people. They just don't know how to control how to use the mobile phone because everything they will see, they want to watch. Every notification that comes, they want to read. They can't control. The mobile phone is now controlling their lives instead of they controlling the mobile phone. You see, and so you have to identify These are just a few of the time wasters that can be in your life. You have to identify the time wasters. There are some people, they want to be in every group. You know, recently, I was in one WhatsApp group, and someone added a whole lot of people, and some were leaving, and someone was commenting, why are people leaving? Why is it a Christian group? I was just laughing because, you know, yes, it's a Christian group, but does it mean that you should be in every Christian group that you are added to? No. I, for instance, if you add me to groups, which, I mean, I've not asked you to add me and all, I just remove myself from it because, yes, I know it's a Christian group, but you can't also waste all your time on things which, I mean, you have to also prioritize your life and plan your life. So you can't say that, oh, you've been added to 100 Christian groups, so it doesn't matter. You'll be in all the 100 like that. It's a waste of time. You see, you should be able to control your time and maximize how well you use the time. So, you see, we have to identify the things that are draining our time and wasting our time because in redeeming, you know, you see, what's the essence of redeem? Redeem is you are trying to retrieve, and then the little that is left, protect, or try to maximize as much as possible the time allotted for you or the time left for you. You see, it's just like those in engaging in sports that are time-bound. They know that it's left to 5 minutes to the end of the game. They want to win the match. As soon when they look at the time, it changes their attitude because, you know, a football team or whether hockey team or whichever team that is comfortably leading, that sees that it's left to 5 minutes. They change the way they play, delay tactics and passing, just trying to keep, all sorts of tricks and strategies just to keep the time running fast so that they finish the game as winners. The one, two, who looks at the time and 5 minutes to time and they are down by one goal to nil or something, or 1-2-1 and they are down by a goal, and no, they also now change their strategy and ensure that 5 minutes is enough, they can do something. So they also push as much as they can to attack and trying to, you see, because their movement and everything that they are doing at that moment in time is based on the time allotted, 5 minutes that is left. Mm. So now they are redeeming that 5 minutes. They know that they can do something about it. Yes. Unfortunately, Christians, we are not seeing it as, oh, time is running out, so we should do something for the Lord. You know, when the Holy Spirit gave me this message 2 weeks or so ago, the most, frightening part of it, let me put it that way, is the fact that we will give account of our time. It's, you know, if, like just a student, if you waste your time on campus and you don't write an exam and fail and lose your certificate or whatever, who cares? What's the big deal? But when you know that failure to redeem the time means you are not going to perform well in an exam, and that is going to be a wasted time on campus or your life and all that, that should cause you to think twice. Yes. The same way, if we know that we are going to give account of our time spent on this earth, it should cause us to rethink how effective we redeem our time. Because the time that God has given us is not free to be wasted on secular things alone. Please read Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14, the last two verses in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes what?
13 and 14.
Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments.
No, wait. Let us hear.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
The whole matter.
Yes.
The conclusion.
Of the whole matter.
After you were born, you went to KG, you went to primary, secondary, tertiary, whichever it is. You furthered your education, professional courses, you finished, or whichever. You went into working, mason, carpentry, any work, nurse, whatever. Driving, your life, adult life, growing old, mid-age, teenager, wherever, whichever life, whichever time you find yourself in. At the end of all the life you are leading, let's hear the conclusion of it.
Say, fear God and keep fear his God. Commandment.
Number one, fear God.
Two, keep his commandments. for this is the whole duty of the man. And the second one is...
This is so critical. This verse, or these two verses, anytime I read it, it's, you know, it's scary. If you think about it, you look at it critically.
It's the whole duty of man.
The whole duty. So it's like after we were born on this earth, the life we live, the school, everything we did and we do and all that, at the end of all those things,
it's not part of the duty.
The bottom line is these things. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The nursing that you became, the nursing school you went to, the nurse you became, the doctor, the medical school, the MBCHB, all the courses, the things, all that is not part of the duty of man.
Earthly duty.
Those were just, side benefits of you being a human being on life, because you have to survive, you have to keep the body alive on this earth. So you work. If the Bible says if you do not work, you do not eat. So your body should survive on this earth. So you work, you go to school, get a profession, feed yourself, have a family, keep them going, pay their fees so that they can also do well in life. Those are just to keep your body going. But a real duty on this earth, serious issue, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Your certificate is not part of your whole duty of man. Your good wife is not part of the whole duty of man. Your good life, your good car, your good mansion is not part of your whole duty of man. Fearing God, keeping his commandment are the whole duty of man. And the verse 14 is even more serious.
For God shall bring every work into judgment.
Every
work.
Some work.
No, it's every. All. Every means all.
Every work into judgment.
With every secret thing.
Every secret thing.
Whether it be good.
Whether it be good.
Or evil.
Whether it be evil.
Serious.
See, our whole life. So sometimes people ask, what is our purpose on this life? What is our purpose in this life? What is our purpose? What is our this? This answers it. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14 is our purpose on this in this world. Fear God. Keep his commandment, for this is your whole duty. All other things are secondary and tertiary. All other things follow. Are not the primary purpose for you being created on this earth is to fear God, keep his commandment.
Yes.
That is your whole duty. Not partial duty.
Whole.
Not some, not most. It's whole. Whole is 100%.
Yes.
So it tells you how we have to prioritize our lives very, very well. Unfortunately, for most Christians now, our whole duty is based on secular things. Spiritually, if you are to account for spiritual things in your life, time-wise, percentage, for some Christians, it may not even be up to 2%. For some, 5. For some, 10. For some, 20. Our whole life is engulfed in materialism. Our whole life is engulfed in the worldly things. Our whole life is engulfed in our family, our profession, acquiring this, acquiring that. That is our whole life. God comes in tertiary, the latter part of the equation.
See, one thing that has...
But it's the reverse.
One thing that has increased our business is the work ratio. Some people think work is not enough. Some of them do 2 or 3 jobs. So you go here and do this, go here. No. So all the time you are busy working, all your time spending working.
Yeah, but it's still not a sin.
That one also consume your godly time.
Yeah, but the issue is, it's still not a sin. But now you have to now assess yourself and see how you can manage your time.
By the time I come at 10 p.m., I'm tired. I have to go and sleep.
Now it's still up to that person.
Do 3 jobs.
To
make my ends meet. So well, go so, here, go here. But the issue is, 10 p.m., I'm tired.
But it's not a sin. But now that person has to now assess himself or herself and know how to. If he has to reduce something, then you do and reduce it, because this is no excuse before God that because I wanted to feed my children, so I worked every day 24 hours, so I couldn't have time to even pray 2 minutes a day. That's no excuse before God.
If I have to factor that God on inside, I have to cancel all the jobs.
Well, that's the issue.
If I have to sideways was in it. We have to cancel one of the jobs and then factor God's own inside.
But that's where that's at the we can't serve God without sacrificing something. And this is the painful part of Christianity, which people don't want to accept, that there's a sacrifice that we have to pay. Yes, Jesus died and paid the ultimate sacrifice. But we also have a price to pay. Because, see, at the end of the day, our life is not our own. No. We've been bought with a price. Slaves in the Old Testament, or even now, in this world, slaves are subject to their masters. Mm. But we are Christians. We've been bought with the blood. Christ died for us. We've been bought with a price. But we don't want to be subject to his control.
Maybe because he's too compassionate and he has not been using rod hitting our head.
Yes, but so. So you see, that issue of Christians wanting to be on their own and do their own thing is where the difficulty comes in. Because you see, there are people who will not do multiple jobs throughout the whole day and not have time for God. But there are some, they will do a little trust in God, and yes, still God is keeping them going. You see, the issue is, how do we understand God's provision in our lives? How do we trust God? How do we combine God with our secular life? These are all things which people are not looking at. So we set our own target for our lives, and then we leave God out. And then expect that when we are old, in our good old age, then we now remember God and then go and serve God before we die. You see, these are the errors that people are making. But at the end of the day, this verse, if this verse is being used to judge someone who dies at 14 years, dies at 24 years.
Premature, 14 is
premature. That good old age, that person didn't get to the 70 years to retire 60 and have time to serve God 10 years. He didn't have the opportunity. But at that moment where you die, whichever age it is, you were supposed to have feared God, kept his commandments, and known that that is the whole duty of your life on that period on earth. So if your life is going to be 14 years on earth, you should know that that period, you have to fear God in it. You have to keep his commandment, for that is your whole duty. Unfortunately, we are ignoring these things and we are running our own course. So we run into errors. You see, Christianity is not an easy thing. Let's understand that. And I remember someone said something that, you see, where you find yourself in sometimes, ask yourself that, did I ask God, did I consult God, did God lead me to where I am now, or I led myself there? Sometimes we lead ourselves into various places and things don't work out as we want and things don't turn up as we expected. Not that God didn't care for us, God didn't hear our prayers, but we left him out of the equation. You see, there are so many, and so it tells you, if God is part of our equation on a daily basis, the things we do, the choices we make, he's part of it. He will guide us. He will lead us. You see, so it's unfortunate that we've not understood the relationship of God to be a daily thing. So we've done many things out of our own will, left him out of the equation, and then we crash, and then now we blame God that he didn't hear us, he should have helped us and all that. If we are to know that if we go hand in hand with him every day, he will lead us according to his will. Sometimes his will not be pleasing to us, but that is the best for us. For some, there are some people who will be in a profession now, which may not be the will of God for their lives. Had they sought the face of God,
it would be different.
God would have given them another option in life. And that would have changed the course of their life completely. But, oh, this person says this is good, oh, okay, let me go and do this business is very good, oh, you okay, then you go, you sink in, you go for a big loan, you put in the money, and then shoom, the money vanishes, you lose seriously, and then now we are in trouble and we blame God.
Bible says the steps of a righteous
man are ordered
by the,
you see,
by the Lord. So how can we leave God out of the equation?
Yeah,
if our steps are already ordered.
No,
I don't understand.
No. It doesn't mean it's ordered. Our steps are ordered if we are in sync with him.
It's not automatic.
No. If you are on your own, you leave him out, how can you order your steps?
I thought it's automatic.
No. So, like, a child who leaves home didn't tell his dad, that day I'm going to visit my friend from here, I'll go here, from there I'll go to the mall, I'll go and okay, so take care, okay, get this for transport. The father is aware of the child's movement. Mm. If the father is not pleased that he goes out that day, he can tell him that, oh, today I want you to do something for me. I wish you don't go today, maybe go tomorrow. Mm. For all you know, there's an accident on the way. So obeying the father and staying home, I know of a case years back, almost 20-something years ago. This guy went to visit his brother, his senior brother, who was a prayerful Christian and all that. Mm. And I think the Lord showed him that something was not right, something spiritually was not right, but he didn't know the actual. But so he cautioned his brother that day he shouldn't move out. And some friends came to visit this young brother, and they sat in a car, went out, got an accident and crashed, and he died.
Mm.
You see, this is a clear disobedience. God was stopping him, do not go out. So his brother told him, you see, the brother was, if you spiritually, I'm not too sure of what is about to happen, mm. but to be safer, you stay home, don't go out.
You have the feeling.
I'm going somewhere. When I come, we'll talk more, but you don't go out.
You don't go.
But he went out and he died. Can you blame God for this? No, God was giving a signal. You see, so these are the challenges when it comes to working on our own will and leaving God out of the equation. So it's a very critical thing to be in line with God's will for our lives. It's very, 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 very important, especially the times we find ourselves in. Because, see, we are in a situation where we may not get a second chance to recover. Especially as disasters begin to occur and people are... Because a wrong movement can lead you into a wrong place at the wrong time and then into death. When you die, where is the chance to recover? Hmm. Where is the chance to undo or like to redo or to correct? There's no chance again. So it's important that we align our lives to the will of God. And that one comes in when we have that effective relationship. So the relationship is there. That communication is there. The communication comes in and that prayer is there. We are praying. We read his word. We wait on him. We have time in his presence. He talks to us. You see, the issue is God talks to us. Mm-hmm. As for that one, God talks to us. Most times, we are the problem. Mm-hmm. God is never the problem. God, he talks, he's ready to talk, he's ready to advise, he's ready to warn, he's ready to caution, he's ready to lead you, deliver you, he's ready. But we, out of our own ego and strategy and our plans and whatever, think we can do things on our own, so we don't need God.
To be someone, we ask you, how did you know God spoke to you in the morning before coming?
No, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You see, the stronger, there are some friends now, who, when they use a different line to call me right now, mm-hmm. my wife, if she uses any line that she uses, if she calls and I hear the voice, I'll know it's my voice, my wife. And it's my friend. Some friends, because we talk so often, there are some friends we talk almost every other day. Mm. There's one pastor friend in Accra like that. He's listening to the program Accra by now. He's in Accra. We talk almost every other day. Today, for instance, we spoke about 1 hour. And not on, but on Bible stuff. And, sharing this. So, we talk. So, if he uses any other number, when I hear the voice on the other line, I'll know it's him. Mm. Because by virtue of that relationship, I know the voice. So, even when the phone is not his number, I will know that number. It's the same with God. The more we spend time with God in prayer and in the fellowship with him, we will know that it doesn't come automatically when you become a Christian. Mm. You grow
from it.
That relationship. Yes. Mm. So sometimes you can make mistakes, mm-hmm. thinking it's God and it's not God. But those are the early stages of, you can make Proof. Mistakes. Mm. Sometimes it can be your own
heart,
your own voice, your own body, your Spirit own. Manner. But you think it's God. Mm. Those errors can still happen. Pastors can make that mistake. So that's how people can say that, they thought God said, but it wasn't God. Those mistakes are there. But it's fine-tuned as you keep going in the relationship. So it's like tuning a radio. You sharpen it, the frequency, you sharpen as you keep working on it, you sharpen that hearing. Then, you see, it's a spiritual thing. So as your spirit man grows in the Lord, your spirit man grows, and then your relationship is continued, and you are living right and all that, you fine-tune that hearing. Gradually, eventually, you know that this is God. You know that this is God saying this. Or you perceive that, you see, you can sense
it's
that.
The divine call.
You can sense, voice. You can even sense that this is, you feel God wants you to do this. And you can be right. Because, you see, it's like you can move to that point where you know what he knows, like what he likes you to do. You know that he wouldn't want you to do this. You know he'll be angry if you do this. So you wouldn't do this. You know he'll be happy if you do this. You see, so it's all about the relationship we establish with him. Unfortunately, we don't have that time to have that relationship with him. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to spend time in his word. You don't have time for anything spiritual. But sadly, we have time for other things. The same people who say they don't have time for this and this and that, the men are spending hours watching football every weekend. The ladies are spending time watching soap operas and series and this. And you see,
said there's time for everything. They too, they want to spend that time to ease boredom.
Well, but it's not about boredom. It's about, you see, you are spending time on all those things, minus God. You still don't have time for God. But you say, you don't have time. But you have time for other things. And this is why this verse we are talking about is redeem the time. Now we should know where it's high time where we should know that the hour is late. So now let's make good use of our time by redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means you have to cut some things off. You have to create an alternative lifestyle. And so you see, you used to spend X number of hours on A, B, C, D. Now, you look at yourself and you realize that, no, you are not doing well spiritually. You know it is not right. Now, instead of spending X hours on this, you are cutting it to this minute, or you are cutting it to that. You are cutting so that you can make time out of those places to use it for something that will benefit you spiritually. And one thing which the Holy Spirit drew my attention to was the fact that the talents... 1, 2, 5, the talents, those who were given the talents.
Matthew 25.
They gave accounts
of it.
And that is exactly how it is. What are we using our time to do? We are going to give accounts. People have gifts, all sorts of gifts in the body of Christ. They are not utilizing any of them.
Someone will know what I ask, what is my gift?
Well, I mean, so you have to spend time with God and pray. It will show you.
Is sweeping the church a gift?
No, you're working. It's working for God. So at the end of the day, people are wasting their gifts all in the name of you don't have time. But you can make time, because if you redeem the time you are spending on the time wasters, you can make time to work on your gifts. We are going to account for it. We are going. If God gave you a talent, God gave you something to do for him, and you are not doing it because you don't have time, redeem the time and start working on it now, because one day you will be asked. You see, the verse we read, the 14 says, for God shall bring every work
into judgment.
Not some, every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it is evil. It be evil. Yeah. As much as possible, let's ensure that we are getting good things done, because we are going to give accounts. How is it? I mean, ask yourself. Sometimes I think, ask yourself on the judgment day, if you are asked, how did you spend your X number of years on this earth? Okay, you became born again at this age. Okay, let's take minus that off.
They will give you the analysis.
You imagine. Imagine it. But that's the reality. God is good. If God is good, I mean, they're judging. If he's judging our works, he said every work, will not some. So, you before born again, that one, it's over. You became born again. So let's start counting from there. You became a new man from that time.
It's praying work.
And two, you became maybe from 20 years or 24 years you were born again. So that point where you are facing judgment, 25 years or 30 years, whichever. Can you account for that period successfully? And you'll be told, thou good and faithful servant. Think about it. Ask yourself about it. I'll be back after this break.
In the movies, what's going to happen next is often revealed by the background music.
Hey, Bob, the boss wants to see you.
Really? Do you think it's about my raise?
Sure.
All right. Wish me luck.
Dibs on his chair.
Wouldn't it be nice if in our lives we could have the same kind of warning?
Sir, the painters are here to remove their paint stains from last week.
Great. Think they'll ruin anything else this time?
Probably.
We don't know what will happen to us next, but Jesus does, and he wants us to trust him with our future.
I'll be down in a bit. I'm going to take a shower. You know, on second thought, I don't smell that bad.
Have you trusted Jesus with your future? The time to decide is now. Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
All right, welcome back. Spirits FM, the station, Issues of Life, Eben. Lord, I want to live my life to please you. I bring my heart before you to remold. I believe this is a perfect prayer we need in these times. Make of me a vessel fit for honor, that I might shine for you as sparkling gold, to be pleasing you, pleasing you. This is all I really want to do, to be pleasing you, this is all I really want to do. Lord, I lift my heart in full surrender. All that I hold dear, I give to you. Purify my heart and make me holy. That's pleasing you. And let's ask ourselves, are we pleasing God with our lives? Can we conveniently and boldly say that we are pleasing God every day with our lifestyle? Be it as professionals, be it as students, be it as housewives, at whatever. Are we pleasing God with our lifestyle? You know, at the end of the day, this Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14 should be our standard of life. See, in achieving all that we are achieving, in all the things we are chasing, and everything should end at the end of it all is God should be the first in our lives. God should be the first in our lives. So, to make God first, then what the steps we have to take to make him first, we should take those steps. If by the grace of God, he's already first in your life and he's controlling your life and things are going as it should and all that, all the better. Keep it going. And if there's room to improve, you keep improving upon it. But a whole lot of believers are not in that category where they can conveniently say that their life is pleasing God. No. A whole lot. Because we've been deceived into thinking that anything goes. God understands. God is love. The grace of God. I mean, we can combine everything. Oh, God understands. God understands. If you read Ecclesiastes 12, the 13, 14, there's nothing like God understands there. So he's giving you your life. We are going to be on this earth, well, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50, 60, 70 years. At the end of that period, you account for the time you spent on this earth. Did you fear him? Did you keep his commandments? You see, these two questions alone, it's a big issue. Fearing God, because you see, they are low. These two things, statements are very loaded. To fear God means then your life should be a life that resembles that one who fears God. Because if you fear God, you are not going to do the wrong things. If you fear God, you are not going to fornicate. If you fear God, you are not going to commit adultery. If you fear God, you are not going to steal. So you see, fearing God means then our life is that of holiness.
Allow God to dictate for you.
Yes, you know, by his word. His word is what leads us, the word of God. So if we fear God, then our lives will be pleasing to him. I mean, it's not magic. It's as ABC. If you fear God, you will do what pleases him. Because if you fear God, you will not do what you know he will not like. You will not do what will please him or displease him. You will not do things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. You will not do things that will quench the Holy Spirit. You will walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You will not walk in the works of the flesh. Because fearing God means you are on his side. You are doing what he leads you to do. The Holy Spirit directs and leads. And keeping his commandments is the word of God. The word of God says, do this. You say, no, I won't do. The word of God says, thou shalt not. You say, I will do. The word of God says, you should not. You say, no, I've finished. I'm even coming from. I've done it already. There's no fear of God. There's no regard for his commandments. So, obeying his commandments and fearing him, means the word of God then should be something we know. There are verses, if you've not, you don't know. So if, let's say, you don't know that something is a sin. You don't know it's a sin. So if you are committing that sin, how do you know it's a sin? You don't know it's a sin. Because, but you've not read that. If you've read the Bible to know that, if you, like, unforgiveness, God is not happy about unforgiveness. If you walk in unforgiveness, you are in a very dangerous position because God too will not forgive you. If you know that, why would you walk in unforgiveness? Bitterness, anger, slander, and all. It says if you hate your enemy, you're a murderer. If you know that verse, that hating your enemy makes you a murderer, would you hate someone? No. But if you've not read the Bible to know that hatred is equal to murder according to God's standard, you will not hate because you know. So it means the word of God should be paramount in our lives. If we are to redeem the time, then we should know the word of God, because if we don't know the word of God, we are redeeming the time. There are a lot of errors that we'll walk into because we don't even know there are errors in the first place. We don't even know this is the will of God. You see, so it's so important that we take these things very serious, ensure that we are redeeming the time, especially the times we are in now. I mean, I don't know how much else we can overemphasize this on this program.
I have a question.
No, let me finish. So if we don't get these things sorted to work in His will, to know the times we are in, to ensure that we are living a life that pleases Him fully, then when, you see, at the end of the day, when the things start unfolding, persecution starts, problems, economic difficulties, famine, food shortages, and all, there are a lot of believers who will blame God that, why didn't God tell them? My God has been giving the warnings. He said it in the Bible first, that these things will happen before He comes. Now, fast forward to our time, He's also giving warnings through His word, prophecies, various people. So now, when the things He said in His word is unfolding, and the things He has told His prophets is also unfolding, how do you blame Him that He didn't tell you? You didn't listen, or you didn't read His word. You didn't even believe what you read in His word. So at the end of the day, you can't blame God. So that same measure is how we should take this warning of redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And that's even the most serious part of it. If the days were not evil, fine, maybe then we could just leisure around and well. But the days are evil, so we should redeem the time. And if the days are evil, then it means sin is on the increase. If the days are evil, it means the demonic activities are increasing. And indeed, anyone who is spiritually sensitive and serious can testify that there is demonic activity in the world now. A lot of the things, behavior and all we see around and on the screens and all over the society and all, is demonic manipulated. It's demons behind these things. The chaos on the U.S. streets, and it's demons who are pushing people to do things. I mean, you saw the video on my wall where someone threw this bin, the cover of a bin, to the neck of a police officer. And you see, and they are happy, they laugh. You watch some of the videos, and it's like, I saw one today, an old woman in a wheelchair, and some blacks were beating a white woman in a wheelchair, and people are laughing.
It's a retaliation.
No, you see, but did that old woman do something to you? But you see, this is where it is. So it's only a demonic controlled person who will see, the Bible says, respect the elderly, yes. Obey your parents and respect the elderly. And all these things are in the Bible. So if an elder, an old woman, great head, in a wheelchair, who has done nothing to you, you just see her and you feel like beating her because she is white, then you are possessed. Because a normal human being should not do that or will not do that. Last week, I mentioned the news where one man who said he felt, after watching some of the police killings, he felt that he should also go and kill a white person. So he took a knife and went to stab a white person. Clearly, this is demonic. Anyone who understands clearly can see that this is God's. Whichever voice told that person, take a knife, go and look for a white person, and stab and kill that person, it's a voice of a demon that will inspire you to go and kill someone. How else would it be? It's a demon that will tell you to go and kill. So we are a lot of demonic activity is ongoing, and it's even going to increase more. That is why we should redeem the time, spend more time in prayer, get into the word more, know things for ourselves from the Bible perspective and from God's perspective, walk in His ways, divine covering and protection. No, we need these things now. We need to restructure and reorganize our friendship list and friends and all that, because there are some people we should take off our friends list, and there are some, because we should now align ourselves with people who will sharpen us. Iron sharpens iron. If you're a Christian and your friends are drunkards, and your friends are weed smokers, and your friends are chasing girls and fornicating all over the place. These are not the time. It's either you are witnessing to them and, I mean, to change them, praying for them to change. But just to hang around with those people just for leisure purposes, please, you are wasting your time. Within that time, rather get Christians who would equip you. You talk, years back when Christians meet, we are talking about the Bible. Oh, what book are you reading? This verse. That is what Christians should be doing. But now Christian boys and Christian men and Christian youth, men, males, when they meet, they are talking football. Christian boys and men, and when they meet, they are talking football. When ladies meet, and what these celebrities, what? Unnecessary, doesn't bring food on your table. Things which add no value to your life in any way. That is what Christians are engaged in now. Yeah. Conversations which bring no fruits, nothing. Yes. Rather, even leads us to sin, because in the, so much talk, we end up sinning. Because, I mean, some of the things are based on lustful things and unrighteousness. So eventually, you end up sinning. These are the things Christians are engaged in when they meet in conversations. And then, have you seen this picture? Have you seen this? That's what Christians are doing now. Whereas Christians years back meet and it's about, you know, I remember years, we go and do all night at church. And you know what we are doing? We are recording gospel music. For those times, cassette to cassette. You know, but you see, these are fruitful things, spiritual. It's like this album has come. Maranatha has released, Hosanna, this album, and the pastor has it. So he's giving it to you, record it, and then you quickly give it to him. You go and do all night recording, CD to cassette, and all this. You know, these are things which you, things that will equip you spiritually. You are copying this, you are going to copy this book from someone, he sent you this book, PDF, you are reading. We should equip ourselves with better things that would keep us going spiritually. These are not the time to read in novels which add no value to you. These are the time to read Christian materials. These are the time to read the Bible more. So, you see, any Christian who says that reading the Bible is boring and, I mean, clearly there's something wrong somewhere in the first place, because the spirit in you should not find reading the Bible boring, because it's the word of God. The spirit in you should identify with it. There should be that joy when reaching out into the word of God. So any Christian who felt bored reading the word of God should ask questions. Why do I feel bored when I take the word of God to read? That means you need to talk to God to help you to have a love for the word of God. That hunger for the word, pray for it. Mm-hmm. You're saying you have a question? Hey, I think some messages.
I've heard people say God operates through theocracy, and we are practicing democracy. Why is that? He did not charm us to do whatever he wants us to do, but he has allowed us to do whatever he wants that we are.
No, he's given us our will, a free will, but we'll account for it.
That's the power, the eternal reverse, operate, like, do everything now. Then we're doing everything he wants.
No.
But he has allowed us to do whatever he wants that we are.
No, he's given us our will. So we have to now live according to our will.
The freedom is more than democracy. The freedom is more than democracy.
Well, no, he's giving us your will. How to do live your life is up to you, but you account for it. So he's giving you a blank check. But at the end of the day, you account for whatever you do with your life. That's why he summarizes it so well in Ecclesiastes. I just love that part. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the end of the whole duty of man. But your whole life is up to you. How you live it, fine. It's up to you.
That fear God and keeping commandments. Why do you need to put it inside our spiritual hard disk so that we do it automatically?
No, Satan will say that it's not a fair deal.
That's why he is a spirit. You are human.
No.
He is a spirit.
No,
if he complains that God will not do anything, because God has nothing to do with Satan forever.
No. God has set the rules right from the garden, and he can't change it. So that's it. So it's up to us. We have our own will, but we will account for it. He's giving us the time. Every day. Every day is how many seconds? 86,400 seconds. Every day, 86,400 seconds. How do we use this 86,400 seconds in every day? It's up to us. The 24 hours, it's up to us. The how many minutes, it's up to us. We control the time he has given us. But he will account for it. That's why he's giving us the caution that we should redeem the time, because the days are evil. If you are already redeeming the time and using your time wisely, thank God. keep going and keep improving. But for as many of us who are not using our time wisely, the essence of tonight's program is let's redeem our time because the days are very evil. And we know, I mean, the people listening, you know that a lot of things are wasting your time. Work on it and identify those you have to cut off. Identify those you have to quickly replace. Have an alternative lifestyle. Replace things that are wasting your time with fruitful things which will equip you spiritually and all that. And at the end of the day...
It is time for you to play with your wife. And she says...
Time is up.
There's one particular program on YouTube. Let me go and watch that one first time. And you say, no, let's play. I say, you are not romantic. And tends to fight. How do you resolve it?
No wonder. It's your house matter. Time is up.
It's not about time redemption. We are talking about time redemption. Let's pray. Let's use time to receive now. There's a program on YouTube. Let me go and watch.
No, so it's... I mean, that means then you have to talk to her about it.
Once you go and say, oh, they'll be all right, and she'll ask you, we are not flexible, we are not romantic, we are not so, everything like this.
That one,
how do you balance it?
Talk
but
to
we're not talking about time redemption.
But you have to talk to her. If not, then pray, keep praying for her, for a change. Because what else can you do? Can you divorce? No. So since you can't divorce, talk to her and pray. Keep praying for God to have God is to intervene for her to fall in love with spiritual things. The program is Issues of Life. God willing, next week will be coming your way. The website is still not ready. A little tight these days, but we'll sort it out soon. And then you can have access to the files. This is Eben. I have Brother Mafu with me. Good night, and God bless you.
In the movies, what's going to happen next is often revealed by the background music.
Hey, Bob, the boss wants to see you.
Really? Do you think it's about my raise?